Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakasipu's plan to become immortal. Text number 29. Tvam isase jagatas tas tusas cha pranena mukhena pati prajanam chitasya chitar mana indriyanam patir mahan bhuta guna shayeshaha tvam isise jagatas tatasuscha pranena mukena pati prajanam chitasya chitta mana indriyanam pati mahan bhuta ganasha yesha tam isase jagatas tatasya cha panena mukena pati prajanam chitasya chitta mana indriyanam patir mahan bhuta ganasya yesha tam isise jagatas tatu sucha panena mukhena pati prajanam chitasya chitta mana indriyanam patir mahan bhuta gunasa yesha. Mukhena pati prajanam. Matajis. from you. Isa say, actually control. Jogata of the moving being. Tastusa of the living, of the being that is dull or stationed in one place. Cha and pranena by the living force. Mukhena, the origin of all activities. Pati, master. Prajanam, of all living entities. Chittasya, of the mind. Chittai, by the consciousness. Mana, of the mind. Indriyanam, and of the two kinds of senses. Acting and knowledge gathering. Pati, the master. Mahan, great. Bhuta, of the material elements. Guna, and the qualities of the material elements. Ashaya, of desires. Isha, the supreme master. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Your Lordship, being the origin of the life of this material world, is the master and controller of the living entities, both moving and stationary. And you inspire their consciousness. You maintain the mind and the acting and knowledge acquiring senses. And therefore you are the great controller of all the material elements and their qualities. And you are the controller of all desires. Purport. In this verse it is clearly indicated that the original source of everything is life. Brahma was instructed by the supreme life, Krishna. Krishna is the supreme living entity. Nityo, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. And Brahma is also a living entity. But the original source of Brahma is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mata Paratrang Nanyat Kinchirasi Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Krishna is the original source of Brahma, who is the original source of this universe. Brahma is a representative of Krishna, and therefore all the qualities and activities of Krishna are also present in Lord Brahma. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krodavacha Lang Pangun Langkai Degurim Yat Kripa Taraham Mande Shigurum Dinatharanam Manchakapa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhya Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we're very fortunate to have the Bhakti Vedanta purports. Because if we didn't have these purports given to us by Srila Prabhupada, then someone could look at this verse and say, hey, looks like Lord Brahma is supreme. Yeah. And there's other statements where it says that Lord Vishnu, he is the cause of all causes. And Krishna, he is an incarnation of Vishnu. So there's many statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam, other Vedic literatures, where it would appear like Krishna isn't the supreme. So we're very fortunate to have these divine purports given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So here Hiranyakasipu, he's flattering Lord Brahma. In vernacular language, we would call it buttering him up. He's buttering him up. He wants something, so he's praising him very nicely to get his desires fulfilled. Of course, he's going to be frustrated. But this is a common thing. Actually, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, he also says, Dante Nidhaya Tunakam Parayorna Patya. He says that when one is preaching, then you go and you tell those who you're preaching to, my dear sir, you're very intelligent, all good qualities, such a wonderful person. Now forget everything that you've learned and take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's in the line. Just like also when we're distributing books, the Sankirtan devotees would praise the people. Oh, nice hat you have there, you know, even though the hat looks terrible, you know. But we'll praise them. Like we recently had this, was it comic convention? Animation convention? And so many people were dressed up with all these very unusual costumes. So the Sankirtan devotees, oh, they would tell them, oh, that's an amazing costume. That looks great, you know, fantastic. You know? And they were like, oh, thank you. So try to win them over. And then give them the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Srila Prabhupada, in the form of these books. I see a lot of books went out, like thousands. It's very nice. So, this flattering is also there in different instances and with Krishna. It's like there is one instance Prabhupada tells of one thief that was going through a village, and there happened to be a Bhagavad discourse going on that he happened to walk by. So he stopped and said, let me hear what they had to say. So he was listening to this scholar speak. And he mentioned that Krishna, he roams in the forest of Vrindavan, and he has many, many jewels on his body. Very attractive. So this thief started thinking, whoa, Krishna's roaming the forest of Vrindavan with many jewels. If I can just get his jewels, then I'll be a millionaire, no problem. So he started thinking like this. And then he decided to go to Vrindavan and search out Krishna, find Krishna. So he's going around Vrindavan, Jai Radha Swami. He's going around Vrindavan and he's searching for Krishna. And he's very enthusiastically looking for Krishna. Very eager to find Krishna. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yodikotopi labhite tataloyam apimoyam janmakoti sukhater nalabhite. That one cannot find Krishna. One cannot attain Krishna by performing many, many pious activities for millions of births. But the only qualification is that one must have intense desire to attain Krishna. So this thief, he was very enthusiastic. He was eager to find Krishna. So he was so eager to find Krishna that Krishna appeared before him. He said, yes, I'm Krishna. You're looking for me? Yes, oh Krishna, you're so beautiful. is so wonderful. I've heard so many of your glories. You're the most wonderful person. So I'm so fortunate to see you. And you're a young boy. You don't need all these jewels. You know? Boys, they just play all the time. You don't need all these jewels. Please, can you give me these jewels? Oh, no. I cannot give you my jewels. My mother will be very upset. No, just tell them you lost them. It'll be okay. Please, give me your jewels. No, I can't give you my jewels. So he's trying to convince Krishna in this way to give him his jewels. And eventually he became purified. And then Krishna said, okay, you can have my jewels. But by then he had become purified. No, I don't want your jewels. Now I just want to serve you. So this is the result of coming in contact with Krishna. In any way, akama sara kamoma, moksa kama udardi, tivena bhakti yogin, yajeta purushambaram. That whether one is full of material desires, has no material desires, desire and liberation, one should approach Krishna and get purified. And so this thief, he was approaching Krishna to steal from him. But he got purified, became a great devotee. So however we come in contact with Krishna, we get purified. Just like in our Hare Krishna movement, we have, in so many ways, we're going out to the people. It's like tomorrow we're going to have Harinam, Rath Yatra, and Ojai. We have so many nice Harinams here in Delhi, so much book distribution. We're trying to give Krishna out as much as possible, just so that people can come in contact with Krishna and get purified. So many people, they approach Krishna for different reasons. Chaturvadha bhajanti manjana sukhutirnata artha yasa artha jnani chambaratarsabhada. People, they approach him because they're in distress or they want money. This is a very common thing. People approach God for money. And material things in general. And Krishna's not so. I mean, it's pious that they're approaching him in this way, but it's very materialistic. Yeah. So sometimes I've heard even devotees, they say, well, I don't want to bother Krishna. I don't want to ask him. But no, Krishna, he wants us to approach him for certain reasons. Like if we approach, if we pray to Krishna for pure devotional service, oh, Krishna, he really likes that. Because we're his parts and parcels. He wants us to engage in pure devotional service. So he's very pleased. He's not disturbed. He's not bothering Krishna. Just like imagine if there's a family and the son, he leaves the family and he engages in all kinds of sinful activities and criminal activities and just goes out and becomes very, very degraded. So the mother and father, they're upset. And they're waiting for him to call. And they're looking for him, trying to help him. So if he calls up and he says, well, you know, I'm having some trouble, but I don't want to bother you. I don't want to bother you. No, it's okay. You're not bothering me. Please, we want to help. So Krishna, he's the Supreme Father. So if we approach Krishna for help out of this material existence, then Krishna's very happy with that, and he'll help us. He'll help us. So no, we should pray to Krishna fervently. Please, Krishna, help me to get purified of my contamination. Free me of material desires. Help me to engage in pure devotional service. Please bless me in this way. So Krishna, he's so many people approaching him for so many other purposes. But if we approach Krishna in this way, oh, he's very, very happy. And he reciprocates. He'll give himself according to the level of surrender that we approach him. So this is how we should approach Krishna. Now here, Hiranyakasipu, he's approaching Lord Brahma with these prayers to get some material thing. He wants to live eternally in his Hiranyakasipu body. Immortal. And he's also engaged in many austerities to get this immortality. And there's many yogis, they engage in so many austerities to get some material benefit. But actually, the purpose of austerity and the purpose of offering prayers is to get purified of material desires. Everybody likes to have a pure body. If someone gets a disease, then they'll spend so much money and perform austerities also to become healthy again. Just like I'm trying to overcome this disease now. And I've had to take on a special diet. And so much money has been spent also. So it's an austerity to get healthy again. So what to speak of to get a healthy soul? This is what is most important, is to become a pure soul again. So we have to engage in austerity. And if we don't attain this perfection of becoming pure again, then what is the use of the austerity? Ararito yari haris tapasata takim. Na rarito yari haris tapasata. That if one understands or worships Krishna, understanding him to be everywhere, then what is the use of performing so many austerities? And if one performs many, many austerities but doesn't come to the understanding that Krishna is the worshipable object, then what is the use? Antarva hir yari hiri is tapasata takim. Nantarva hir yari hiri is tapasata takim. And if one understands that Krishna is everywhere, within and without, all pervasive, then what is the use of performing so many austerities? And if one performs so many austerities and doesn't come to this understanding, then what is the use? So we're performing the austerities that we're performing so that we can get closer to Krishna. This is the goal. And to eventually develop our love for Krishna. This is the purity that we're in search of. And this is actually the natural condition of the soul. Our normal condition of the soul is to be in this pure service to Krishna. This is a good person. Just like sometimes we're on Sankirtan, and it's very common now. We're distributing books, and they say, no, I'm good. Very common. One of the most common things, I'm good. But they don't know what good is. This is the problem. Because we have a tendency to make mistakes, imperfect senses, cheating propensity, all these different flaws. But they say, no, I'm good. But then I think, oh boy, if only I were good. Because fortunately, Prabhupada is telling us, what is really good? Good means to be pure, to be a pure servant of God. That's natural. So we're in this Krishna conscious movement just to become normal again. Yeah. As long as we have material desires, then we're abnormal. We're in a diseased condition. So we're trying to become healthy again. It's described that this material world is also, it's like a prison for people that don't want to serve God. Now, none of us would like to go to prison. A horrible situation. I was just recently in Africa and I was looking at one newspaper. There's some prisons in Africa where they have prison cells that are just 10 feet by 15 feet and there's 50 prisoners in there. You can imagine that. So imagine the misery of that. So if the warden comes to him and says, well, how would you like to have a cell, be in a cell where there's only 5 prisoners? And he would jump with joy. You know? Only 5 prisoners, yeah. He'd be very happy. Because he's conditioned in the prison. You know, none of us would like to be in any cell in the prison because we're free. So this conditioning is what bewilders people. It's like there's some prisoners. They finally get out of prison, and then because I'm being conditioned so much, they commit some crime, so they can go back into prison. They can't handle living outside the prison. They become so conditioned to prison life. So we're trying to become free of this conditioned material life and become free to serve Krishna. And this is by the process of bhakti yoga. And today is a very auspicious day. Today is the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami, who was a great, great, great Vaishnava, who was free, completely free, to serve Krishna with love. Actually, there's an instance where it's amazing how he got in the position that he was in. He was, of course, born into him and Rupa Goswami and Anupama. They were born in a very nice Brahmin family. But it was known by the Nawab Hussein Shah that he was a very, very, very respected personality and also very, capable, very expert at doing everything, him and Rupa Goswami. So he blackmailed him, said, if you don't come and under service to my government, then I'm going to harass the Vaishnava community like you've never seen before. So they were both blackmailed. That's how they went into this Muslim government, working as servants for the Nawab Hussein Shah. They were blackmailed. So some of you may have been wondering why that. So that's why. And they became very wealthy. They were doing great service for the government, and they became extremely wealthy in that service. But when Lord Chaitanya appeared, they decided, this isn't for us anymore. So Sanatana Goswami, what he did, he started having Brahmins come to his home, and they would preach. They would recite the scriptures, and he was calling in sick. But actually he was hearing from the devotees. So when the Nawab Hussein Shah heard this, he went there and he said, what is this? Why are you lying to me? Why are you doing this? You have so much to do here. And he said, well, you know, I'm finished. I'm not going to do any more government service. So he put him in jail. So here, Sanatana Goswami, the most free lover of God, now he's in jail. But, like I said earlier, he was very capable. So he he bribed one jailkeeper there. I have a lot of money for you. And you're very pious. You're such a nice, pious Muslim. I'm going to go to Mecca. Please help me. I'm going to give you money, and I want to go to the holy place. So please, help me. So he did. So he was set free. So then he eventually went to where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. He was outside the house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the omniscient Lord, he told his servant, there's one devotee outside. Please invite him in. So he went out, and there was just some, he had big beard. So he said, no, there's just some Muslim mendicant out there. So Lord Chaitanya went out, and he saw Sanatana Goswami, and he gave him a big embrace. Imagine that mercy, huh? Being embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then practically the first thing he said, shave up. So he was a very great Vaishnava. Like I said, he was so wealthy, but he gave it up. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he gave up everything to accept the youthful goddess of renunciation. I read that thinking, wow. What is it? The youthful goddess of renunciation. What does that mean? He accepted the youthful goddess of renunciation. Well, the youthful goddess is generally extremely beautiful, right? A goddess is beautiful. A youthful goddess is very beautiful. So in other words, this renunciation is very, very beautiful. This is what I got out of that. And if you think about it, the most famous personalities on this planet were renunciants. Lord Jesus Christ, he was a renunciant. He was homeless. He was just traveling around and preaching the word of God. Very renounced. Lord Buddha, he also renounced his wealth. He was the son of a very, very wealthy man. He renounced it all and went to live under a tree, the Bodhi tree. Right? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he renounced. He took sannyas, 24 years old, beautiful wife, loving mother, and took sannyas. Even Lord Krishna, very renounced. He was out in the dead of night playing his flute. Thousands and thousands of gopis come to him to dance with him. And he tells them, what are you doing out here so late? You know, all these wild animals out here. You should go home. Go home. It's not safe out here. Go home. Who but Krishna? That's very renounced. Who but Krishna can do that? So this renunciation is very, very attractive. Because why are these devotees renouncing this material world? To go to Krishna. Yeah. To go to Krishna. So this is this is what makes the renunciation so attractive. There's other renunciants that very renounce. You know, no sinful activity, and you know, even chant the holy name so much, but without a desire to serve Krishna. So this is not attractive. This is not attractive. But what is very attractive is when one renounces this material world and develops a desire to just serve Krishna. In this same verse that I mentioned to you, it's mentioned that Sanatana Goswami can be compared to a deep lake covered by moss. And the idea is that if you have a big lake covered by moss, a very deep, you can't see how deep it is because it's covered. So Sanatana Goswami was like that. He was so deep in his Krishna consciousness and in his renunciation, his knowledge of Krishna. No one could understand how deep he was, how advanced he was. Because he was also very humble, extremely humble. Yeah. That famous statement, Kayami, he asked Lord Chaitanya, people say I'm a great scholar, but I don't even know who I am. He's very humble. So this is these are some of the glories. Of course, Sanatana Goswami was one of the greatest Vaishnavas to walk on this planet. So his glories are many in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Radha Swami, would you like to say anything? I feel very embarrassed to sit here in front of such an exalted Vaishnava. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you, Vijay Prabhu, for a very nice class, especially this last point here about the beauty of renunciation and Sanatana Goswami. I just wanted to mention, in relation to Sanatana, his worship of his Madan Mohan deity. Sometimes in a neophyte stage, I notice devotees in ISKCON, they're worshipping Shalagram Shila in a very casual way. I'm going to the beach, I just grab my Shila and take it and leave it on a rock while I'm swimming, and you know. This is like neophyte imitation of Sanatana. We know the famous story. He was so intimate with his deity, but because he had no money, he was worshipping in a very simple way. He would just take some flour, some water, make a ball, and just put it on the fire. It's called Bada. And then he would offer that. So one day Krishna asked him, he said, Sanatana, can you at least give me a little salt? Prabhupada tells the story. And then Sanatana said, today you're asking for salt, tomorrow you'll want something else. I'm an old man, just be satisfied. So he was on that level, like you said, so deep you can't understand how deep he is. So he had that very intimate relationship with his deity. But we shouldn't imitate that. Again, I've seen regularly devotees in ISKCON, they take to this worship of Shalagram Shila, and they very casually, everywhere they go, they take it, they leave it anywhere, and just, you know, this is very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Amarendra Prabhu has done quite a study on the Shalagram Shila. Many of you may not know that. If you have questions about Shalagram, you can speak to him about not only the glories of worshipping Shalagram Shila, but the dangers. If you don't know what you're doing, you can get in very deep trouble. There are some Shilas, for instance, that if you get them and you don't worship, you can die. It's stated in the scriptures. Some Shilas are meant for death. So it's not something to be played with casually. You really should know what you're doing, and it should be done properly. It's not a casual affair.
It's interesting how he came about worshipping Madan Mohan. He was doing Madakari, and he went to one home, and he saw that the children there, they were playing with the deity. Very, very casually. So he told, was it? I think he told the man there, you know, this is not proper, you know, to have so much informal, you know, playing like this. So I believe that night he had a dream. Madan Mohan went to this man. He said, you should give me to Sanatana Goswami. And then I think Sanatana Goswami also had a dream, right? You go there and I want you to take me. So then he went there to the house, and there the man, that's how he gave Madan Mohan to Sanatana Goswami. And then of course he built this big beautiful temple, Madan Mohan temple. Any other comment or question? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Sanatana Goswami ki jaya.